Good morning. I want to welcome all of you to this service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church, where we serve Christ by cultivating mission, inclusion, and community. As you can see this morning, we're trying to see how many people we can get on the chancel at a single time. So I'm just always grateful for the choir, but for our brass and for our cellist this morning, thank you for being here. It is great to have you helping to lead worship. Several announcements. First, today is the first Sunday of the month, so it is? Thank you. It is Loose Change Sunday. Any loose change you have, if you put it in the offering plate, it goes to the Deacon's Fund to help with immediate needs of food, clothing, and shelter. Second, Angel Tree. For those of you who picked an angel, many of you, I saw you bringing in your gifts today. They are due in next Sunday. If you haven't done that, encourage you to do that. Also, next Sunday the youth are going to be having a cookie walk as a way to raise funds for their mission projects. For parents of first and second graders, immediately after our service today, we have a Touch the Water program. It is part of our program to teach children about faith and about what it means. So we do a communion class. This is our baptism class. So you'll just meet in the lounge after this service. For those of you who haven't picked one up yet, there are these illustrated Advent devotionals. And the wonderful thing about them is that inside you get to make your own Advent wreath with candles. That's not my coloring. That's better than I could do. And so we encourage you to pick one of these up. They are at the Welcome Center. Finally, for those of you planning to attend the 5 p.m. Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year, so we'll have a 10 a.m. service for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Then we'll have a 5, 8, and 11. 5 o'clock after that, we are going to have a live nativity with animals, and children, if they want, can come and have their picture taken in the manger. So keep that in mind. That's one of the exciting things that is coming up for Christmas Eve, which is 3 weeks from today. Yeah, I hear the what? So now, with those announcements made, let us stand and greet one another in the name of Christ. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. God listens to us as we cry out to you.
For you are our shepherd who leads us.
Stir up your might and come out and save us.
Let your face shine before us so that we might sense your presence.
Look down from heaven and see us. Restore all in God. And we live again.
When let us worship God. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord from whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Isaiah tells us that God's people waited. They waited for deliverance because their nation was under attack. They waited for deliverance. As they waited, though, they did not wait in despair. They waited with confidence that God would act, that God would save them. They waited with such confidence that they would be glad and rejoice in a deliverance that had not yet arrived. This is the way that we are to wait. As we light the first candle of Advent, let us wait with gladness and rejoicing, trusting that God, who sent Jesus into the world, will deliver us now and always.
Please join me in prayer. Loving God, during this Advent season, help us to wait with gladness and joy for the coming of Christmas morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would the children join me down front, please? Are you? That's wonderful that you're in kindergarten. I like it. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. Just right there. Well, Mrs. Getting Bigger heard something she thought she would never, ever hear. She was getting ready to put supper or get ready for supper, and suddenly she heard Ralphie say, "Mom, can I help you? Can I set the table?" And she was like, "Well, sure, Ralphie, you can help me set the table." And he set the table really quickly, and then he ran down the hallway, and she heard him go, "Ralphette, can I help you clean your room?" And he helped her clean her room. And then at supper, he said, "Dad, after supper, can I help you pick up all the leaves in the yard?" And so his dad looked at him and said, "Ralphie, what's wrong with you?" And he said, oh, nothing, Dad, nothing. And his mom said, "Well, okay, so is this what you're doing because you think you have to be on Santa's good list?" And Ralphie said, "Oh, no, I know I'm already on Santa's good list. But, you know, in church on Sunday, there was this story about the fact that Jesus might come back and visit us again, and I decided I better get really busy doing good stuff because I have a lot of time to make up for." And Mrs. Getting Bigger looked at him and said, "Well, you know what? He might not be here today." And Ralphie said, "So I might have to do this for a week?" And she said, "Well, he may not even be here next week." "I may have to do it for a month?" And she said, "Maybe even longer." And he was like, "Really?" And she said, "Yes, because, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus coming back one day, but the thing is that Jesus said, even when he wasn't here, we were to act like he was. We were to love people like if he were here and help people like if he were here and do all the things that God wants us to do." So Ralphie thought about that. And he said, "Well, I think I can do some of that, but do I have to help my sister clean up her room again?" And Mrs. Getting Bigger said, "Nah, you can probably leave that to her. But I really do like it when you help. just like Jesus asks us to. Can you guys say a prayer with me? Thank you, God, for loving us. Help us to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can go on to Sunday school.
It is hard, really hard, to wait in these busy days of our busy lives. And very often, we try to take control and manage that which is in God's control. So with that in mind, please join me in the prayer of confession. Ever-present God, we admit that sometimes we wonder if you are there, if you hear our prayers, if you answer our prayers. Forgive us when we believe that our timetable ought to be your timetable. Give us the patience to wait for you to act in your time and in your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Mark's gospel makes it clear that the Son of Man is coming, but that God Almighty is in control of that, not us. We can rest in the hope of God's mercy and dominion and live our lives in joy and gratitude, knowing that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Living Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, teacher and friend, Savior and Lord, as we listen to the story of your coming, touch us by your Spirit, that this ancient story might be story as well. In your name we pray, amen. The First Testament reading is from Isaiah 64, verses 1-9, and if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 694. Listen for the word of the Lord. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When did you awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament text is from the 13th chapter of Mark. And as we read it, you will note that it just sounds a little odd, out of the unusual. It is what scholars call apocalyptic language. It's the kind of stuff you find in the book of Revelation. And just so you are aware, in the time of Jesus, this kind of language was commonplace. That it wasn't simply here, but that there were other Old Testament texts that contained this same kind of language. And so let's sort of be open to it this morning as we listen from the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 24. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you don't know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of the Lord.
The clock was ticking. The big clock on the classroom wall was ticking closer and closer to 8:30. It was my freshman year in college, and I was one of those people who loved early morning classes. And so I was there with a bunch of other sleepy students, and we were watching the clock just tick, tick, tick around. And 8:30 came, and there was no professor. And we looked at each other, and the clock kept on ticking. Soon, it was 8:35, and still no professor. And so this buzz began around the classroom. How long do we wait? How long do we wait? And someone said, well, what I heard was, if they are an assistant professor, you only have to wait 10 minutes. If they're a full professor, you have to wait 15 minutes. And so suddenly it was 10 minutes had gone by, and the buzz was, are they a full professor or are they an assistant professor? And finally, at 15 minutes late, we all looked at each other, and as a person, we all got up and we all walked out. I have no idea if that professor ever showed up. So how long do you have to wait, right? Have any of you ever asked yourself that? How long do I have to wait? Okay, The repair man is supposed to be there between 9 in the morning and midnight. And you keep asking yourself, how long am I supposed to wait? It's always the question, right? Well, if you've ever been there, if you've ever asked yourself that question, how long do I have to wait, then you understand what the people around Jesus were going through. You understand what they were wrestling with, because the question for them was, how long do we wait? How long do we wait for God before we give up? The people around Jesus had been waiting for God to act for 100 years. Not 5 minutes or 15 minutes. They had been waiting 100 years. Because in 63 BC, Pompey and his Roman legions had obliterated the Jewish government. And for 100 years, the oppression of Rome, the taxes of Rome, had been pressing in upon the people, slowly but surely destroying their culture, robbing them of everything that made them distinctively Jewish. And they waited for God to act, because God had acted in bringing the people home from Babylon. God had acted in bringing about a Jewish government a couple of hundred years earlier. When was God going to act? How long should they have to wait until they simply gave up and wandered off and quit waiting for God? How long should they have to wait? Now, you might think, how many of you would really wait for something for 100 years? Right? So the question is, why did they keep waiting? Why didn't they simply give up? And the answer is because people like Jesus kept showing up. Prophets, leaders, and they kept saying things like, but in those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon won't give its light, stars will be falling from the heavens, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then you will see the Son of Man, just get this image, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he'll send out his angels to the four corners of the earth, to the four winds of the earth, and they will gather in God's elect. They will bring in all of God's people into the kingdom, and this new thing that God is doing will take place. They waited because there were those like Jesus who kept promising that God would act. So how long should they have to wait? How long should we have to wait? Folks, it hasn't been 100 years. It's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years of conquest, war, violence. 2,000 years. And though the world is probably, I would argue, better now than it's been in a long time, just click on the news. Half the world lives on less than $1 a day. Our nation is in the midst of this opioid crisis that is causing manufacturers to leave jobs open because they can't find people who can pass the drug tests. And it debilitates people, and people are dying. And we could all name the things. Human trafficking, poverty. How long should we wait for God to act? The answer, if we listen to Jesus, is we wait as long as it takes. We wait as long as it takes. But in the meantime, The question is, how do we wait? Now, for those of you who were here at Advent by Candlelight, Joanne did a marvelous job of talking about this idea of how we wait. She talked about waiting passively and waiting actively. And I want to sort of push that a little further down the road, because she was absolutely right that we are to wait actively. But the question is, what does actively waiting look like? Because Jesus talks about the fact that we are those servants that God has put in charge while God is gone, and we are to be about our work, our business. And so what is the work, the business that we are to be about as we wait? Well, as I've thought about this, and actually part of this comes out of a conversation this morning I had with someone before 8:30 service, that waiting, the way that God talks about waiting, is something that begins within us and then expands outside of us. That waiting begins with us seeking to know Christ more fully. It begins internally with us asking ourselves, what is it that God wants of us, of me? What kind of person does God want me to be? What kind of virtues does God want me to develop? We wait internally. And then the second step is that we wait by serving neighbor. That internal waiting becomes external waiting in terms of how we work with our neighbor. It's what we did with the food baskets. It's feeding the hungry. It's clothing the naked. It is visiting in prison. It is giving a cup of cold water to someone. It is being that neighbor that God in Christ calls us to be. And so waiting begins internally and then moves to those immediately around us. But it doesn't stop there. That the third step of this process of waiting is that it moves out into the bigger world. It moves into the world of justice, where we look out at the world and we see grave injustices that are being done, that are being committed. Racism, homophobia, the way people are sentenced in jail, the things we've talked about in this place. All of these things, part of waiting is to be part of the process and the people who bring about transformational change so that the world looks a little more like the kingdom of God. So waiting is active. It's internally active. It's active with our neighbors. It's active in the world. And so this morning, as we wait, here's my challenge to you. To ask yourself, how am I waiting from the inside out? How am I waiting from the inside out such that I am doing the work that God has called me to do? Let us pray. Gracious God, we wish, we hope, we pray that one day you would come and make all things right. But in the meantime, in the in-between time, help us to wait from the inside out, that people's lives, that our lives might be changed for the better. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, in response to all that God has done for us, we invite you to return your morning's tithes and offerings to the work and witness of Christ's church here and around the world. We'll also be passing out registration pads. We encourage you to sign in and let us know of your presence with us. And if you're a visitor, to let us know that as well. And we would love to just tell you how welcome you are to be in our midst. Let us worship God with our morning's tithes and offerings.
Loving and ever gracious God, please bless these offerings and use them in us to further your work on this earth. Change us and transform us as individuals and as a congregation, and help us to actively wait in serving you. Amen. Please be seated. Well, John's right again. We are waiting and waiting. But one thing we don't need to wait for is to come to this table and be fed, as Jesus is our host and invites each and every one of us. For friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And it was then that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites all who believe in him and want to be fed to come and join in the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. I missed a song. And now let's have a hymn. We wish the peace of the Lord to each other and say, the Lord be with you. And obviously, I said it at the wrong time, but how can we ever say it too often? So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Why do we give thanks at this table?
We give thanks for God's creation, for making us in God's image.
We give thanks because God never gave up on us,
even though we were not faithful to God.
We give thanks because when it was time, God sent the only Son, Jesus, to show God's love for us.
With all the faithful of every time and place, this song is sung to God's glory. On the night. On the night before he died, Jesus took the bread. He blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And it was then that they saw him. He told them to eat it and remember him. And ministering in Jesus' name, we do likewise, the bread of heaven. After the meal, Jesus took the cup and gave it to him as the promise that our sins are forgiven. And ministering in Jesus' name, we do likewise, the cup of salvation. Let us pray that the everyday bread and grape juice will become holy. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ.
Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Since this meal brings us together with all Christians, let us pray for the needs of the world, the church, and all of God's children. God of our beginning and end, we confess to you that we live in a world that needs you now more than ever. As we celebrate joyfully in anticipation of your coming Son, we recognize that joy does not come as easily to everyone's lips. We pray this day for those who struggle to find joy and fulfillment, those who hunger for love and compassion, and those in situations of violence. We lift before you those who endure pain and illness, those who shiver in the cold and fear the unknown, and those who search for people just to acknowledge them. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently and others who await the coming holidays with trepidation. We lift up to you these written requests here before us and for those needs known only to you. We pray for the leaders of all nations and for the worshiping communities of all faiths that seek to heal the world. May all people strive to be a blessing to one another. Now together, let us pray the family prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All things are ready. Enjoy the feast which Jesus has prepared.
Thank you.
lack of perfectly executed liturgy never diminishes the nourishment of this feast. Let us pray. Lord God, in deep gratitude for this moment, this meal, these people, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people because we have shared the living bread and we cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, and encourage many through us. So, Lord, may we live to your glory, both as inhabitants of earth and citizens of the Commonwealth of Heaven. Amen.
To parents of first and second graders, if you'd like your children to be part of our Touch the Water class, just come on out, let them, and then just come on to the lounge. We invite you to be there. And now receive the benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.